Okay, my name's Ross Shegog. I'm a researcher at the University of Texas Prevention Research Center. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a program called Native It's Your Game. Can you hear me okay? Okay, so let me adjust the mic. And this takes a little bit of a different turn from what Dr. Lambert was talking about, in that we're going to address the front end of a project to which will be focusing on adaptation of an evidence-based program. We were funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Administration for Children and Families. We have an extensive partnership, and I was starting to feel like it was a little incestuous because some of the names keep cropping up here. Let me introduce the team to you. We have Connie Jessen here in the back, not that you can see her that well, but from Alaska, from the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Gwen Gorman and Travis Lane from the Intertribal Council of Arizona. Stephanie Craig again, who was previously mentioned from the Northwest Portland Area Health Board, and Amanda Gaston. And we'll see more of Amanda in a minute. And Jessica Liston. From our team, myself, Dr. Markham, who is out in the crowd out there, I see, and Jennifer Torres, who is in the back, but is a mainstay of the project. And it's quite an honor following Bill Lambert, because he also appears in the team. So we worked with Heather Tevendal, who I could say is an absolutely terrific hands-on project coordinator, if anybody happens to cross her path. Sarah Axelton, from the Administration of Children and Families, and Scott Tollick and Laurie DiRavello, formerly with the Indian Health Service, who also worked with Dr. Lambert, worked with us and were really principal in being able to make the linkages between the different organizations for us. And so we hooked some top names, Bill Lambert and Carol Kaufman, who provided some excellent intellectual input in the review of our program. So we know that the American Indian population is diverse in terms of traditions and history and values. And they're about 2% of the population. It's about 566 tribes in the United States. And they have challenges. This is a population that is 33% under the age of 18. So there are birth challenges. They have more teen births. They have a lot of STI, sexually transmitted infections, and they have early onset of pregnancy. And these are challenges that we want to try and address. But they are also faced with the challenge of having limited sexual health education opportunities. There isn't enough reach and fidelity. On the flip side of that, we know that this young population is also expert in handling technology. They are in fact in front of the curve as users of media, and they use it in social networks, they transmit their culture, and they can find information beyond their local community. So they are adept at technology, but they have needs. And so our plan was to provide a contribution to the solution. We set out to adapt and evaluate the effectiveness of an internet-based HIV, STI, and pregnancy prevention program for middle school-aged youth, 12 to 14 years old, in three geographically dispersed American Indian Alaska Native communities in Alaska, Arizona, and Pacific Northwest, who have already been introduced. And we were doing this in a two-phase program over 4 years. The first year was to elicit community support and have dialogue with the community. Now, we in the University of Texas, we're out there in the Southwest. We haven't been working with Indian communities that much, but we've linked in with organizations and individuals that do a very good job at that. And they became the linkage to the population, so we could have that sort of dialogue. I should mention that all those individuals, they're Stephanie Craig and Gwenda Gorman, and Connie Jessen, they're all PIs on the project, so we equally share the project, and that makes it a different type of experience in terms of research project. We set out to look at the existing resources, what is actually out there in terms of programs, including Native Stand, including the Circle of Life that Carol Kaufman has been working on. And we're looking also to validate the type of determinants, behavioral determinants, that we could apply in our intervention. And then we took an existing evidence-based program, It's Your Game Tech, which was an adaptation of an effective middle school program but developed for urban youth in Houston, largely Hispanic, African-American, and we were going to adapt it for Native populations. Why would we do that? Good question. One is because it's a tech-based program, so you can get it, access to it through the internet, so we can discover what that might do for us in terms of dissemination and implementation. Two, it was an effective program in two randomized controlled trials, one with Susan Tortolero in Houston and one with Chris Markham in Houston. And it was found to significantly delay the onset of sexual activity in middle school youth. The third reason is that Stephanie Craig-Rushing, there she goes again, it's the third time we've mentioned her, she contacted us. She had been doing research on her dissertation and had discovered that It's Your Game stood up very well in the minds of Native youth. They were very interested in the program. In fact, it ranked near top there. So there was a lot of reason to do this, and the CDC was good enough to fund us. So we went about this, as you can see, we used usability testing protocols with the existing program to look at its cultural acceptability, and then we did the adaptation, and then we did the usability testing again. Our phase two is an efficacy trial and the dissemination of the results, and we are still in the process of cleaning data from our first round of follow-up data. So just a mention of the framework that we found very useful to guide us. This is from Resnikow and Kruder, but there are other frameworks around, and we operate somewhat analogously with those. But this is a very useful way of thinking about assessing cultural sensitivity. Resnikow talked about surface culture and deep culture, and Kruder cut that a little bit more finely in terms of peripheral, evidential, linguistic, constituent involving, and sociocultural. And that's really going from very surface elements to the look of the program down to some more intrinsic values and beliefs of the population. So here's the It's Your Game Tech program. You can see it's for urban youth. And this program, it's 13 lessons, it's computer-based, and it takes a middle school student, when they sit down at the computer, takes them from healthy friendships and setting rules about how they want to live and protecting those rules in the context of healthy friendships. Then it teaches about reproduction, about puberty, developing body, all the bits and pieces, lays that foundation, and then it moves to dating relationships. There's discussion of sex, so we all know what we're talking about. It discusses consequences of sex, risk reduction, and again, setting boundaries in the context of dating relationships. So you can see this is actually a metaphor for the adaptation process, because you can see what's happened to the logo. So now the logo, it's called Native It's Your Game, and I personally wouldn't have thought about calling a program for American Indian Alaska Native youth Native It's Your Game, but that's coming from the Native youth themselves. You can also see the splash colors, which are representative of the desert, the forest, and the rivers, and the coast. The array of communities that we're working with. So I wanted to give you a show and tell here. Our usability process is that we get groups of youth, and we get stakeholders from the community, adults, so maybe parents or community health workers, they may be nurses, and we bring them in and we show them the program. We get the kids to actually use the program, and then they rate it. And they rate it on an array of parameters that I'll talk about in a minute. And they tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we try and respond. And so here are some examples of what we might think of as surface adaptations. And you can see already, straight away, things are looking good. Because we've moved from the depressive old guy to the cool young guy, right? Now, I want to tell you something about Bill Lambert, right? So we know he's a researcher. Thank you. We also know, though, that he's a bit of a tech guy, because I came in this morning and he told me that this is all going to run, no problem. So let's see.
Okay. Well, good for you. Our last lesson was about the technical stuff. It's serious stuff. Failure can lead to a pregnant pause.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that pregnant pause, because I got my 5 minute call, so I'm gonna run out of time. So you can see that these are characters who indicate where we're going to go in the game, what we're going to learn. We have guides in the program. You can see that they are somewhat adjusted. Morphology, clothes, a little more modest. Here it's hard to tell, really, a little more hair. you'll notice that we've included things that resonate with youth, elements that resonate with youth. This is the Alaska single foot ball kick. You might know more about that than I do, but we were lucky enough to get some video out of the Youth Olympics to put in the program. So they wanted the youth and the adults that we talked to wanted more representation naturally enough in this program. So those are their image representations, but we also heard they wanted the voice, the elder voice, the voice of wisdom. Now, we are unaccustomed in the programs that we create for youth to think automatically that we're doing a program for youth, so let's put in a prayer and let's have some old people, and that's going to resonate with our youth. And that's typically not the way we think. It's usually older peers, but not here. And so you're looking at Renee and Kirby, who are elder voice, who help to set a tone in the program that is unique to the types of programs that we normally produce. And they remind us of the cultural context of the material that we're going to encounter in the program. There's Amanda again, and she has been incredibly instrumental in producing the program and also evaluating it. And she is our sex expert. So we have our expert videos. And then if we want to delve a little bit deeper into core cultural values, here we have a very New Orleans-y style approach for deciding on our future. So this is an activity that is interactive, and it's really looking at the choices we make in our life and how we can make good choices, we can make maybe not so good choices, and that leads us down different paths. Now this is being overhauled, as you might see here, and I'm going to try playing this one.
Dante was 16, a high school junior who was a star in his village basketball team, doing well in school, and known for helping out in the village. Things are going fine, but he and his girlfriend Chickamu have some decisions to make. Time to visit the expert and see what the future holds. Dante was smart enough to know he's not alone, and now is a good time to tap into some elder wisdom.
My girlfriend and I really care about each other. And lately, we've been thinking about taking our relationship to the next level, but I'm not sure that'll be the best decision to make.
You know one of the best things about life.
What's that?
There's many paths you can take. You know one of the greatest challenges about life.
What's that?
There's many paths you can take.
Abby, what does this have to do with Chikomiok and me?
Everything, Dattu. The choices you make and the paths you take will define your life.
I guess.
Do you want to be the best fisherman you can be and provide for your family?
Sure. I want to be as good as you one day.
Well, like everything in life, it's about the choices you make and the paths you take. Sure, with some luck, you could catch an occasional salmon, but with planning and preparation, you will be rewarded with a full net.
Abby, can we talk about Chikomiok and me?
generation, you and Chikumyo will be rewarded with living a full life. With Chikumyo, you might choose to take your relationship to the next level now and choose to become a father and a provider for your new family. And of course, you would embrace the responsibilities that come with that. You can choose to balance those life streams of yours with immediate needs of your family life and find your joy in that. So many choices. You may choose to be prepared. For sure, having a family can wait. So what else? Maybe that life dream. Graduation. Maybe a college man. And a big time. And you know, the choice of a family never disappeared. Not a bad home. And you're ready to start a family. Your life is radiant. Plenty of choices, step two. And you know the really great thing? It's your future we're talking about. It is you who can make the right choices for yourself.
It's amazing and kind of scary. I guess it's really true when people say that the decisions you make today can change your life forever.
True. Just remember to be clear about where you want to go and how it fits in with your life as a provider.
Thanks, Oppie. You really are an expert on life. And salmon. I guess that's why we're told to listen to our elders.
If you can make wise choices and plan for your future...
Whoa, awesome!
You will surely fill your net.
Okay, I wanted to eat up a lot of my presentation time just to give you an idea of the types of activities that we have. And you could probably do a seminar on the adaptation, the cultural adaptation that represents. There's a lot of depth in there, although it's a simple cartoon, but it resonates. And I should mention that the Alaska team, obviously, had a great deal of writing input into this. So all the activities are very much collaborative. Nothing goes out the door without everybody signing off, which is sort of horrific. And the other thing is we overcame the challenge of trying to figure out how to mix salmon with sex, finally. So I received my call to stop talking, I will. There is more to discuss at the deeper levels, and if you want to come and talk about it, I'm around. In terms of our model, in terms of getting into some of the issues that really resonate with the youth that we provide material on, understanding the diversity, immense diversity, and this is our learning curve regarding youth in these communities. Some of the bling that we offer. And that's actually earphones, not contraception device. And then that's what the program looks like when you log in and you have a go at the lessons. And that's my horror slides to indicate that we did okay with our usability testing, and we're going to stop there and keep going. And then we're involved in our efficacy testing now, and with a sample of 529 youth, and we should be able to report some results next year. And I wanted to thank the team that you already met. Also, Tarja Revels and Jennifer Williamson from Alaska that didn't get a mention. And, of course, all the native communities that just came out to play with us. So we appreciate that so much. And no questions. So thank you.